Hello, everyone. What are we coaching on?
Well, hi. I'm new.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit nervous.
It's okay. Everybody is the first time.
Thanks for talking to me.
Are you welcome?
So today I wanted to talk about future self. And I'm super excited about it. So it's nothing, you know, hopefully nothing too heavy, you know, on my end, but something that I've been thinking a lot about. My backstory a little bit is that I found you in January, and I started listening in January, and on my birthday kind of started practicing the principles of PNP, and it's been amazing. Just celebrated my 5-month anniversary, and I'm doing really well. I'm a little over halfway to my goal.
Awesome.
About 22 pounds in. And I told my sister about it. She was on holiday. She was on vacation with her husband, and she started listening, and she joined in April. And in April, my life was really full, and that was not the right time, not the right opportunity for me. And so I just kept doing my thing. And around about the time June came around, I had listened to every podcast and every Facebook that you had done. And I thought, I need more. And she had explained to me that it was so different once you get in the tribe. So anyway, that's kind of the background about it. What I, the reason I come to you with my question today is because I'm at this really great place in my life, this great opportunity. I'm sort of at this beginning of this next chapter of my life. In May, just literally weeks ago, my last child graduated college, and kind of starts this whole different place in life. Since doing PNP, I have a pretty specific protocol of food. And that is both because of things that I choose, but also because of things that work better in my body than other things. And prior to this, and really still, I'm a huge food person. I love to create beautiful food. I love to plan food. I love to shop for food. I really have loved everything kind of food oriented. And kind of the third thing is sort of like exercise and this dog I have and her needs and us going out a couple of times a day and getting, you know, a couple of miles both in the morning and at night. And so I have three things. I have the children that are done. My child rearing phase is over. I have a very select cornucopia of food that I choose from and use to create. I kind of say it's like Mexican food, right? It's like the same beautiful food that I just create in different ways. And so that is kind of maybe set, and an aging dog who really just doesn't need as much exercise. And so this opportunity for me to maybe start trying some new things. And so as I started to in my no BS hear about this idea of future self, and really start to hear some like coaching calls and some ideas of it, I started to feel a little bit maybe anxious or panicked, but also in like the best way, because in my past, I have been a Weight Watcher since age 10. And
me too.
Yeah, right. So age 10, I'm 54 years old. I would say was a successful Weight Watcher, but if I was that successful, I wouldn't be here today, right? And you know, I think that in those past years, one of the things I would always make it to their weight, and did the whole lifetime member thing. But I didn't have any of the thought work, which is why this is so amazing. And I did have all of those three things, still the love of food and creating all this food and a family to raise and, you know, animals to deal with and all of that. And so,
so what's made you anxious?
Well, so it all comes down to this. I'm the type of woman who, does something and is like completely all in.
Okay.
And so when I decided to do PNP and I'm doing it and I'm completely all in, like there is not a shadow of a doubt in my mind that I will make my goal and just keep doing this and living this life. And I know I will. So the thing that keeps coming back in my mind is if I take my eye off of this prize, quote unquote prize, I'm afraid that I will become distracted. So right now,
what are you wanting? Like, your goal is what, 22 more pounds?
My goal is I'm a little over halfway, so about 18 more.
So 18 pounds. And then what are you considering doing?
As far as like extracurricular?
Well, what is it that, so you had a very interesting thought. If I take my eye off this prize.
Yes.
Where is your eyes going is my question. Because we haven't gotten this prize yet.
Well, if I start to practice these other things, right, I've been journaling a lot.
Give me one very specific one you're looking at.
As far as doing extra, like things so, I'm interested in.
Yes. Well, one of the things that really helps with like getting your brain kind of situated is super specific stuff. So like really knowing like, okay, I have 18 pounds left until my weight loss goal is achieved. Like that's a very specific model. And then like we want to also have like, all right, so what is it that in your mind is saying, if I take, you're calling that the thought about the 18 pounds is the prize.
Yes.
I'm taking my eyes off the prize. So I want to know, where are your eyes searching?
Well, on some of these other things that I might have interest in. So my life is still really full.
Yeah.
But when I, so for example, like I'm really interested in starting to think about travel.
Okay.
So my husband and I, we had started having children pretty young. We haven't done a lot of like travel in our life. And so starting to like research and starting to think about some of those things. In my past, when I kind of go down that road,
of travel,
I would become, or not so much in travel, but like working on it and spending my extra time, kind of thinking about that, right? Then I would, you know, stop kind of in other areas, right?
And so let's be real specific. So I want to travel with my husband. I have 18 pounds to lose.
Yes.
That's all we have. But when you watch the video, this is what I want you to watch. Your brain is searching for ways to confuse everything. Like you're talking about things in very non-specific ways. And that's why it's making you feel anxious.
Well, and I'll tell you why. It's because I don't want to say fear because I'm trying not to use that word, but I think about getting to that place and not having had established some of these other things that I can go to. Because right now, like all of my free time, my husband and I have a business and I have a separate business beyond that. But beyond that, all of my free time is really been focused on this, and that's why I've been that's why it's been working for me. So yeah.
Tell me what you're afraid of.
I'm afraid of not getting all the way there. So at Weight Watchers, I would always get to, like I said, their place, you know, and then they wanted to put me on maintenance or whatever, right? But I have a really specific goal, and I not only physically, but just my mind and everything, I just want to get to this place for one. I've never been there. For once in my life, I want to get there.
Okay, this is the what I want you to watch. You have a very poisonous thought that just came out of your mouth, and I'm going to tie all this together for you. For once in my life, I want to get there. That sounds amazing. But you know what your brain says? Let's get there for a day and then go travel and not stay there. Because we did it. We did it once in our life. We want to make sure we're talking about it as I'm going to get to this goal, and that's just the new standard.
Right.
It's like really watching how you're talking about this goal. All right. So here's what I want you to like think about for a minute. One, I want you to be real specific when you're talking about your stuff. So like, rather than saying like, you know, I have these things and I have these other things, and I don't really like using the word fear. It's like, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I'm afraid of this, so that I know exactly what I'm afraid of. There's nothing wrong with fear. The only time fear is bad is when we sit around in fear and don't do anything about it. And we avoid it and we eat over it and we like busy ourselves to not feel it. I'd much rather everybody be scared as shit and like get to know their fear, understand why they're so afraid, debunk that crap, and then move on. That's the way to handle fear. And that's what I'm going to try to help you with. I think for you, a very important question is, I have 18 pounds. To lose. There's a model for that. There is a model for we're going to travel. And then there's also a third model called we're going to travel while I lose 18 pounds. I think in your brain, there's that can't happen because I have to be all in on this.
Right.
What if you can do both at the same time? Have you ever considered the idea of you may not could keep losing weight and do the rest of my life without having to be hyper-focused?
I know it sounds crazy a little bit, but it's just, I'm a hyper-focused person. And I guess that was the, how do I kept asking myself, how do I do this? How do we do this? You know, how do I incorporate these things? I mean, I have lists, right, of things that I just really haven't had the time, you know, I've been so focused in other areas of my life. And now that some of these chapters are, you know, coming to an end, it's, you know, it's kind of mourning those a little bit. And, God, why am I being emotional? No room for that. Right. and moving into these other things, which are so exciting, but it's in, I guess that was like, so when you got, my question was like, in my mind was, I wonder when she got there, how did she start to incorporate these other things? Or did you all along?
I did all along.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And that's what I want you to start doing now.
Okay.
I want you to be able to study PNP and still at night, talk to your husband about where y'all going to travel.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, this is what your brain, this is where your brain's going to. I will not be able to do both.
Yes. All or nothing.
Yeah. And it's, and most of us do that. And I'm not all about like, I don't want everybody setting 1,000 different goals, but I think that what I want your brain to think about is I could have my 18 pound goal, but that would, how can I lose 18 pounds while researching what our life's going to be like in the next 6 months? How can I do that? Like, and when you started crying, why were you getting ready to cry? Because your daughter's graduating?
No, I just, it's a, just a different, no, I'm hit me for a second, but it's just a different chapter in life that I'm totally embracing. But, you know, there's just this amazing, like, memory and, you know, like, my kids are gone and they're grown and they're doing their thing. And, you know, it's where, it's my greatest achievement, my greatest accomplishment, right?
What is your thought about that? Other than it being my greatest achievement, what is it that makes you cry?
I loved it. I love being a mom to my children.
Do you think that part's over?
No, it's not over. I know that. On a daily basis, I know that it's just changed. It's just very different.
I think for you, what before you start, it's very like you, this is what I'm sensing from you, that there is a hesitancy to like go all in on being sad about this and figuring out why this is so emotional for you. It's almost like, well, this part's ending. I need something new and exciting. And yes. I kind of don't have the new, like the diet part won't be new and exciting. Like I got 18 pounds. I've already been doing that. My newness part's over. So now I need something else to distract me from my sadness and possibly fuck up my weight loss.
Maybe.
Yeah, it'll maybe. Keep me nice and busy. So I'm not sad about this part. But yeah. I think the problem is we don't know why you're sad. Like you have beautiful thoughts about it, but underneath it, it's like, I have my thoughts I'm going to choose to think that I do believe, but I haven't been willing to just be like, this part.
Yeah.
This is like, you've already given me two big signals. There's something wrong because one, you called it a mourning mm-hmm. and we only mourn things that are dead. So like
true.
You identifying what part have you decided has died? Because that's what's going on in your brain. Something's died. And now I'm crying. That's how we know that there's just something in there. And this is what I want you to really understand. This does not mean something's wrong with you. It means you're being a very human mother.
Yeah.
But rather than what I'm sensing is this is very uncomfortable. I'm very used to being hyper-focused on my P&P stuff, and this has all been amazing, and this all felt really good. And now I've got this nagging something or other over here that doesn't feel good. And so rather than digging in and figuring what that is, I'm like, new goals, future focus, let's get out there. Let's not like really see what's going on.
Yeah, and I mean, it is odd. It's even odd to me that I'm having like an emotional response to it, because when I talk to my husband about it, or I talk to my sister about it, or, you know, it's a really exciting and positive place. Mm-hmm. Maybe deep in there, there's this emotion, right? There's this sense of, you know, change, right, upon me. And I'm not really in my heart. I don't really feel like maybe I am, but maybe you're sensing I am, but trying to distract myself from the weight loss because I really want that. I'm really doing all the things to.
Oh, I believe that you are. I have no, like, I do not doubt that. But what I know what typically happens is that sometimes when you have something out of line over here, like you'll be doing really well here, and rather than just keeping on going, you start adding more things in to complex that up. Like it creates a distraction.
That's my concern.
From this. Yes.
Right.
So right. I don't think that you should say no to travel and stuff. What I want you to do is I want you to stay focused on your weight loss, but I want you to dig into what's going on over here. There's two big things that could be going on. Number one is that whole morning of like, there is a version of you who literally is dying. The version that your kids need you every day. The version, like, they're going off to do their own thing. And the version of you that, like, time was accounted for.
Yeah.
With, you know, all these other things. So then the other part that gets scary, so you either are sad or you're scared, and they could be both, is now there's, like, transition. I don't know who I am. I've got to figure out who the fuck I am. The one thing I do know is I lose weight.
Right.
And I can bank on that one, you know, but I am not I'm still a mother, but I'm not a daily mother anymore. I'm like, so those things. So it's like, rather than trying to create excitement and trying to just run to your future, sometimes what we have to do is we really have to just pause in the moment and like take it in, like, oh, this is where I'm at right now. Like, it's time to identify who I want to be before I just start new goals. What I'm afraid of with you is you're an all-in person. Is you're just going to pick something that seems exciting and good, and you're going to go headfirst into it and not really identify who you want to be. Like, you're in a really good space to just spend a few days writing about all the possibilities in front of you.
Okay.
Looking at what feels right and what doesn't feel right and what you would want to spend your time on. And with all of it, you tell yourself, and all of this, whatever I pick, can be done and still lose 18 pounds. Because that's not done yet. The goal is still out there. And this is not a once in a lifetime thing. This is who I'm going to be, the person who weighs this number.
And what do you worry about? Do you think about like getting there and approaching that place and not having fully, you know, establish some of these things, or, you know,
I would spend some time, like, you can have different visualizations of you. Like, I do this a lot. In fact, I was just writing this morning about, like, write about who you are at your new weight while doing these other things. Like, how much do you weigh? What's the number? I do better with
it. Yeah.
142. Okay. So the 142 pound Patricia is on an Alaskan cruise. I don't know where you and your husband are going, but let's just pretend y'all want to go to Alaska. Why I pick that? Because I don't even like the cold.
But that's where he wants to go, I guess, maybe.
Maybe. So you think about the 142-pound Patricia doing that. You think about the 142-pound Patricia doing all these things that are, like, entertaining to you. But you start visualizing you doing it at your new weight.
Okay.
Thinking about your body in that way. Like, being that person. Like, this is what I do all the time. I'm always thinking about, like, the version of me once Logan is gone. Like, last year I spent time visualizing who I was going to be as a wife and mom to a husband that left his job. Like, in my mind, Chris left his job. The day we said he was leaving was the day that it became real in my brain.
Yeah.
And I visualized it and I thought about it and I daydreamed about it. I spend so much time in the future that it feels so real now. So what happens in the now is I start making decisions like that.
Yeah.
I start creating that reality. I behave different. I talk different. I make decisions that, like for you, I want you to just keep thinking 142 pound Patricia. This is what she's doing. This is when she goes visit her kids. This is, like, everything should be around that. You'll never take your foot off the gas on that side. And you'll have time to land on what feels good to include. But you're always, the thing I want you doing, though, is always thinking, whatever I pick gets done at the same time. Like, there's no, like, if I take my eye off the prize, you're doing it from scarcity, and you're also doing it from past thinking. In the past, if I took my eye off the prize, I failed. We're going to do it from the future. The future, Patricia, she's got thought work. She doesn't have to worry about that anymore.
Right. And I know this doesn't go away. I mean, I know, you know, getting there, right, to that magical place, right, rainbows and butterflies, right? You know, it doesn't go, the work involved doesn't go away. I know that from past life, and I know that from just you and everything that, you know, you talk about. You all still, you know, write your plans, and you still, you know, prepare your food and do all of that. And so there is a certain amount of time, I guess, involved, but I'm feeling like the newness and the amount of work, you know, like, I'll just sit for hours and, like, listen to, you know, I'm done with No BS, and then I'll write and then listen to content and all this stuff. And so I'm almost like filling my spaces, my extra time with all of this right now. Right. So, because I can.
Yeah.
And
one of the things too, is like thinking about the idea of, like, all the plans and all the things that you're doing. One of the things I think is so important for all of you is I never think I'm doing all this to lose weight. Like, that is the worst thought ever. Most of you think that that's such an amazing thought. Like, oh, I'm doing all this to create weight loss because it feels so good. It feels like I'm actually doing something. It's like, no, you know why I do all that? Because it's who I am.
Yeah, it's just my life.
I make plans. Yeah. That's, you know, I'm a planner.
Yeah,
I'm in control of my life. Like, that's the way I think about it. And when I think about doing 24-hour plans and weekly plans and when food prep and all this other stuff, I never think about it as like, and these are the things I do to lose weight. It's like, no, these are the things I do because they feel right.
Right.
And it's who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, and when you do that, it's, you take on the identity of that truly healthy person. Otherwise, you just have an identity as someone who's losing weight. There's nothing wrong with having that identity, but it's got to be more. Like, you're at the stage now where I want you to start thinking more about, like, this is who I am.
Okay.
I'm 142. I'm just waiting on the scale to catch up. But in my brain, I'm already there.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. That's great. And then in the, if I'm thinking ahead, like in the maintenance, you know, phase, do your ladies, you know, are they still active and involved and like going to events and content for the most part? I mean, is it
being a lot of them are on right now? Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's just a way of life. It just continues. Okay.
I think so. I think there's like, because what we teach is so much more than just teaching you, like, let's talk for the thousandth time about whether or not we should, you know, have a snack. We rarely talk about stuff like that.
Okay.
What we normally are talking about is life shit. You know, it's kind of like I'm a master coach. I am like the master coach of the life coach school of all the coaches. There's only probably one outside of me that could even like nudge me up. And yet I listen to every single call. I go back through, like, we have our own version of an OBS. It's like Brooks, basically what the beginner coaches get. I just listened to the entire series, like 3 days ago again. Like, it's like the idea of like, this is so important to me, like being a good coach, keeping my weight off, being in maintenance. That's what goes in my brain. Like, I'm going to study maniacally that stuff. So we have a lot of girls that have lost all their weight or are very close. They just don't go because it's like, why would I disengage from something that's bettering me in so many other ways? You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it has, I mean, it's amazing. And I'm so very thankful that I found you. And I think you're amazing. What you do is amazing. And thank you very much. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to
start dreaming.
Yeah.
And 142 pound version of me is making it all happen.
Yeah. Well, all thank right. you very much.
Thank you. All right. Let's see. Who was next? Agatha, Patricia, Michelle. Here's Michelle. Agatha, I think you were first. And then Michelle, you'll be next. Lori, you have your hand raised, but I don't see you on the list. Just want to make sure that you type in a note if something's mistaken.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What are we talking about?
I have a question. I joined the tribe in April. I've been a groupie since January, so I'm now down 27 and a half pounds.
Good for you, Mama.
Thank you. I apologize if I'm looking around. I'm at the beach with my family, and I snuck out to the car to make a call.
Okay.
I have a question. I suffer from really bad migraines.
Okay.
They're brought on by the sun. They're brought on by pretty much, I get triggered by a lot of things. My problem is when I, in the past, prior to going through your program, whenever I got a headache, I would automatically go and either get more coffee or eat something to try to take away my headache. Obviously, I haven't been doing that as much, but my hunger cues get confused when my head is all over the place and I'm all out of whack. So sometimes
what happens when you just don't eat? Like you have a headache. What happens if you just don't eat, even if your hunger cues are all over the place?
Well, my thing is like I usually don't eat till probably maybe 2 PM is when I first start feeling physical hunger.
Okay.
But my cues get confused when I have the migraine and I'm saying to myself, am I really hungry? I kind of feel something, but I'm not sure. So then I go and I eat something. But what happens with me is then I feel like crap afterwards because I feel like I was at my -2.
I don't think you're having hunger cues. Okay. I think your brain is like hurting and you're looking for relief and distraction.
It makes sense. Yeah.
I would just try not eating at all and just say that it's just not part of it. Or you find something that is so boring and not attractive to eat. And that's called the headache food. It's like something that sucks. Like literally it'd be like, I must really be hungry to eat it.
That's the broccoli.
You just have like a bag of broccoli that you just keep around. It's like, it's break glass in case. And behind it is a stalk of broccoli. But what I would do is I would just do that, honestly. Because it sounds like you're having emotional hunger. Because for you, what is happening is a conversation happens first. It's like, I have a headache. And then all of a sudden, it's sending up urge thoughts. I might be hungry. My hunger cues are confused. Like, I think that those are your habit brain throwing that up to trigger an urge. Because your brain knows that if you'll eat something, a little dopamine or something will get be released to take your mind off your headache for a little bit. And it's like,
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I have actually, I've coached on this a couple of times. This is very common. A lot of people who have like migraines, there's a couple of other things that happen, like just physical things where people have, basically it's that physical symptom that you have triggers old food urges.
And usually it's happening when I'm sitting in front of the TV. So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because usually I used to sit in front of the TV and mindlessly eat, just like shovel it all in. You know, your urges, of course, is amazing.
Thank you.
It literally describes a person like me. So that's actually really helped me a lot. But when I get those damn migraines, it's like, take over.
Then I am like 1001% sure that all that's happening is old habit urges are triggered by that physical symptom. It's like headache. Your brain says, oh, we must need a snack. Like, you know, because we used to eat in front, like your brain is tied headaches to needing food. And so it's got all of its chatter and it's just running through things. And because you've been losing weight, it now is like, you know, I think it's our hunger scale. I think our hunger scale's off. Like, you know, your brain will scroll through as many excuses as it can find until the first time it's like, oh yeah, it could be that. So now I'll eat. And then it's like, click, that's another new one. Put that on repeat every single time. And I think all that's happened is just like the person who starts smoking in high school, they don't smoke because they're stressed. At some point you had a headache, you ate food, and your brain was like, hey, that distracted us. So now it's like, now when I have a headache, I have an urge because that's the solve. And it just made an illogical connection. So I would just like literally have either a boring food that is the only thing that's like your choice if you have actual hunger. And I will guarantee you almost every time you won't choose it and you'll sit there and you'll need to sit through the headache though. That's the initial price you pay, is you're going to sit through your headache without a distraction. It's no different than the person who has a food urge at 8 o'clock because they're bored with their marriage. It's like, you know, the price you pay is being bored with your marriage to break the habit of eating through your marriage. So yours is going to be the same thing with a headache.
Okay. And I just had one more quick question.
Yeah.
I've been working on the self-love course. When we started in April, I listened. I'm a good student. I did some no BS and that's all I did. Because there's so much content. So with my accountability partner, she and I decided when we were done with No BS to start the self-love course.
Awesome.
And I was having a really, really tough time with self-love because I've gone through so much crap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I started avoiding even doing the journal prompts. I got to like day four and I'm like, this is way too heavy for me. And I realized I was avoiding all the stuff and it was triggering binges. So in self-love, even though I was just doing the self-love course, I would still listen to your urges and buffering stuff, whatever you have out there. You know, I was listening. And I'm like, you know, this is not making any sense. So I actually tried to get on one of your calls like maybe 2-3 weeks ago, but I couldn't get on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was speaking to my therapist and she told me that I was avoiding all the self-love stuff. And I wanted to come on to ask you initially, should I keep with the self-love? Should I keep doing it?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Just pretend that they're like it triggers a few binges, but at the end of it, you figured out how to love yourself. Would it be worth it?
God, yeah. Yeah.
I'd keep doing it. That you're allowing a few binges to be to cause you to be afraid of just pushing through.
Okay.
Just do it. And just tell yourself this, I don't even have to eat over this. Like I can go through this course the first time and see what all I can agree with myself of how I want to think. And I can do it again and go deeper. You don't have to like get way down in there the first time if you don't want to, like just kind of clean the top layer a little bit and then do that and let it feel good. And then do the 30 days again. Like just excavate.
You know, I never thought of doing 30 days again. I didn't think of, you know what? I may just do that and just see what else, what comes out different. Like obviously I'm going to write things down. And I can compare them. That's a really great idea. Thank you.
I am in my mentor's membership where they do all the thought work and stuff. And it's literally the same shit every single year. This is my third year in there. Same book comes every month. Same ask questions. And every month I go through and I read and underline. I mean, I've read this thing 3 times and I'm still reading and underlining every single time. It lands different because I'm different. And then every single time I do the exercises again, because I'm different this time. And I think that that's like really important. And I'm going to tell you, I think self-love is probably one of the best courses that we have at PNP because so many of us really don't have a good relationship with ourselves. We've used our food. We've used different things to distract from working on our, like just our personal relationship before. And I think it's one of the best ones to do because before you can like even go out and solve your other relationships, if you got a shitty one with yourself, you're going to go out and try to solve relationships from a place of, I want you to help me feel better versus I feel really good and I want to enrich what we have.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Give it a whirl. Don't be afraid of binges. They're just a big overeat. That's it.
Yeah, that's why I think I have made so much more of it in my head than it actually really is. That forgiving myself has been... Sorry, I'm not leaving. You're trying to take my parking spot.
Forget it. We're at the beach, bro. We're not leaving.
This is the Jersey Shore. Yeah, no, but I make more of things in my head. I get anxious about it. I have anxiety, so I get anxious about it. And then, you know, I feel like crap after. And then, you know, that always turns into a downward spiral. But it's not that really hasn't happened as much as it used to. Thanks to you. So I wanted to say thank you. And I will be seeing you in October.
Yay!
Yes, I'll be there.
So we have another event in August and I'm working on their content. And while I'm working on their content, I'm like going through lots of things and I'm like, oh, I'm saving this for camp. And oh no, this is for the 3 days. I'm like all in mode right now. I just love planning our events. They're my favorite things to like plan the teaching for because I get to do it live.
Oh, well, that I'm super psyched for it. And so is my accountability partner, Terry. Hi, Terry, if you're watching.
Hi, Terry. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you so
Y'all
much.
Y'all have a good
have
day.
A wonderful time. You All too. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Michelle said you were next, and you are. And then Raynette, Debbie, Carmen, if you're here, you are all also on the list. If any of you are here, go ahead and raise your hand. Hey, Michelle.
Can you see me?
Yes, I can see you. You're the first one to come on with video.
Why can't I see you? You're gone.
I don't know.
There you are. Okay, hi. I'm an online school teacher, so I'm sure my microphone and everything is set up.
Okay.
So I'm calling about a relationship question.
Okay.
Just tell me if I'm off if you think this isn't something I should ask. I don't know. I've listened to these calls before. I've never heard anyone go into relationships. So I'm like,
Oh my gosh, you need to go to the back catalog. We got a lot of relationship calls.
Okay.
So go for it. I'm good at the relationship.
All right. So we have a couple that we hang out with. We travel all over the world with them. And we go like once a month, once every 2 months we travel. We've been best friends for a really long time. We live about 1,000 miles away. So in order to get together, we have to travel.
Right.
And so we have been going along our happy, merry way. And the last 9 months, you know, the girlfriend of the other couple, she stopped eating. So, you know, we would be at dinner or whatever, and she would just not eat. And so after a while, I just questioned her. I'm like, is everything okay? You know, why aren't you eating? And she said, oh, I'm on a plan. I'm losing weight. And so she was eating these bars. I don't know. She called them diet bars. So she ate those, and she lost 150 pounds.
Okay.
And she's still eating them. Every time we go, all she does is eat these bars. And so then she started doing a lot of exercise. And on the side, I saw my husband and her were buddies on their Apple Watches. They were, you know, helping each other exercise, like whatever.
Yeah.
So they started competing, and that was cool. Everything was cool. But then when we would meet, they would go off to the gym. So I wanted to go to the gym too, but I'm really self-conscious because I can't do nearly what they can do. I'm not there. And that's just a fact. You know, I've got that on my little download model. It's a fact. But one of the things is we have a trip coming up. It's not.
You know, it's not. No, I'm not there is not a fact.
Okay.
What is the, like, tell me what the problem is. You want to be able to work out with them? Like, what do you think the problem is?
So, yeah, because it's a multifaceted problem, which was why when I was doing my download, I got confused, and that's why I finally signed up, because I had so many thoughts, and I know you always say pick one. And
yeah,
so,
or just do every one of those thoughts with a separate model. So have like 20 models.
Yeah.
Very often what we do is a circumstance with a lot of thoughts. But what do you think the circumstance is? I'm just curious. I want to know what the, tell me in one sentence, the problem is.
The problem is, oh man. See, I think there's a couple. So
okay, well, give me one. And then if I want to do the other one, I will.
Okay. So I want to tell you the rest though, before we do that, because my husband and I are going on a trip with them in a week from now.
Okay.
And my husband and I individually have gone on this trip for the last 32 years of our marriage. We go every summer, and in the morning, our routine is we exercise, we eat a little breakfast, and we snorkel. That's what we've always done.
And what is going to be the problem?
The problem is she's going to be there.
The problem is she's going to be there?
And she's going to want to do, and she's going to want to exercise, and she's going to want to snorkel. And I don't want to share him. I mean, I want that.
The problem is I don't want to share him.
Yes.
And do you think that is a fact or do you think that is a thought?
I think it's a fact.
No, it's a thought.
Okay.
Because let's pretend that, like, you went and she had never lost weight. And she was way worse shape than you and wanted to go snorkeling. Would you be like, I don't want to share him?
Yeah, you're right. I wouldn't care.
The only reason why we care is because we've got compare and despair judgment going on.
Yeah. And the other thing is, though, I think she has shared with me that there are some problems in her marriage right now.
Okay.
So then that's my second issue is, what is she reaching out for?
Right. Your brain is very unchecked right now. Your brain thinks everything is a fact and nothing is. You have a husband. You have a trip. You have a friend who's lost X amount of pounds. Really, your circumstance for her, she has lost X amount of pounds and you have thoughts about it. Like, whatever those thoughts are, and you're making them mean, like, well, I don't want to share my husband. Well, I don't know why she wants to talk to him all of a sudden. Like, your brain is creating a lot of story. And this is why you're upset, and this is why you can't figure out your models. Let me ask you, with this lady, what is her name?
Sherry.
Do you like Sherry?
Yes.
I mean, how many years have y'all been traveling together?
2 years.
2 years. Y'all been traveling with Sherry, and what's her guy's name?
John.
Sherry and John. Mm-hmm. And Sherry has lost 150 pounds over the last 2 years.
Yeah, over the last 8 months.
In the last 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And you're making that mean what about you? Because that's where the real problem is. Somehow her 150-pound weight loss, because it's just striking to me that you have a lot. When you presented your problems, it was all about her weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
And her newfound life.
Yeah.
And that's never a problem until you're making it mean something about you. So what are you making her weight loss mean about you? Other than, I can't keep up, or whatever your first thought was about, like, the reason that you had a fact about the gym. What was your thought about the gym?
I can't keep up with them.
Yeah.
You know? And my fear is I would not work this out ahead of time in my head, and then I'm going to get there, and then I'm just going to be an angry person.
A crazy bitch.
I really, really will.
Let me tell you how this trip's going to go. Every single time Sherry just wants to be with you guys because, like, I would want to be with your husband too. Like, if we all went and your husband likes to work out, who do you think I would want to hang out with? Mm-hmm. Like, not my husband because he won't work out. You know what I mean? Michelle.
Her husband.
What's your husband's name?
Chris.
Mine's Chris too. That'll be easy. I'd just be like, Michelle, Chris and I, we're going to the gym. Like, my Chris can't hang. I just want to work out with a dude. I like lifting heavy. Would you sit there and be like, that bitch Corinne, I think she's after my man.
Yeah. I think the part that started that for me was the Apple Watch thing. This is what started it for you.
The Apple Watch can't create insecurity in all of us.
Yeah, except nobody asked me to join.
No, because you don't work out. You know what you don't do?
I do. I just can't. I just don't do the amount that they do. But so if there was a competition, I would lose all the time.
Well, maybe your husband doesn't want you in the competition for that very reason. He wants you to be encouraged in your weight loss rather than dejected. You can't keep up yet. You don't know what the reasons are, but you get
sort of. One of the things that has been said is, why don't you try those bars? Because this thing is taking too long.
Okay. That's his opinion.
Yeah.
What do you make that mean? Why?
I've made it mean that I want him.
Like, I want you to think about this. You are so desperate to figure out a way this is terrible. He made a comment about bars versus PNP. Well, now I know I'm going to get the queen. Because, I mean, he's like disparaging the PNP. This is when I'm validated in my shitty attitude about Sherry. No, you're never entitled to that. You know why? It makes you feel like shit.
Mm-hmm.
I will defend your husband and those bars every day of the week and twice on Sunday because it's his opinion and he gets to have it. You know what I'm interested in? Your opinion. And why aren't you so solid in everything that you're doing and believing in you and believing in him and your marriage that somebody can go eat bars and work out and do an Apple Watch challenge and it not be a threat to your livelihood with your husband?
Yes.
That she, I'm going to tell you what's probably happening, is she's because, and it's all because of the thoughts that you've pulled out that have been like the important ones. She and her success is pushing on your insecurities. But your insecurities are your thoughts. She's not actually doing any of it. She is just a fact in your life, and you have feelings of insecurity, and you have thoughts backing them up because what you're perceiving, you're allowing those insecurities to play on a tape. And you're calling them your facts.
Okay.
Like, I can't keep up is not a fact. Okay. I can go and get fitter is a better thought than I can't keep up. I can go and do my own thing while they work out because that's what a secure wife does could also be a like a really good thought for you.
Okay.
But it's not the one you're choosing because you're feeling insecure in a lot of different ways. So here's what I would do if I was you. I would start over, like, you take your work, but like really let's identify your facts. Like, I would have facts of we are going on this trip with Sherry and Chris, or no, his name, I forget what his name is.
John.
That is Chris's middle name or first name. That's so weird. It's like John Christopher. It's like this, the easiest bunch of couple I'll ever remember. But you have like a circumstance of like this future trip with John and Sherry. And I would put, and she has lost 150 pounds. And I would put as another, like I would make this like one big circumstance. And she said, we're having problems.
Okay.
And just see what your thoughts are from there.
Okay.
And then you can pull each one out separately if you want. I love running lots of models.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a, like one model of like, it's just Sherry who ate bars and lost 150 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry and my husband are in an Apple Watch challenge this week. That's the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is a thought you're attributing to it. You got to decide. Like, I would look at them and I wouldn't like get caught up in your story and just say, like, is this how I want to be thinking about this?
Sure.
Now, this is like, I would do all of this work and I would have a conversation with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you, this is how I love to start conversations with, especially my husband. The story I'm telling myself is, so like, you know, we're going on this trip and the story I'm telling myself is that you and Sherry have more in common than we do right now. The story I'm telling myself is I don't want to share you with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you make it all about you and your insecurities rather than being, you know, like kind of sitting around and then suddenly something triggers insecurity and you're like, well, I don't know why you would want to go to work out with her anyway.
Right.
Like, that's usually what happens.
I know myself, and that's what I do not want to have happen. I mean, I wait for this trip for months. You know, I look forward to it, and I don't want it ruined because of that. So that's why I really wanted to figure this out.
Yeah, I would just, like, let me just ask you, if you weren't thinking about Sherry and your brain wasn't running wild, what is the relationship you and your husband have? Is it good?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean,
you love him?
Yeah.
Is he fun?
Yeah, he is. He's
amazing. Does he love you no matter what?
Yes.
Does he sometimes have opinions about you that you're just like, what? But you're willing to move on? Because right now you have an opinion about him that he might cheat on you.
Yeah. This is the first time.
All he's caring about is bars. You're like, I think our marriage is on the line.
Well, this has never come up in 32 years. Like I said, is this the first time this has ever like been on my mind? So
I would just look at it. It's like her, like probably what's going on is you're trying to lose weight, right? Mm-hmm. And how much weight do you want to lose?
Well, I have probably 100 pounds to go.
Okay. And how much have you lost?
35.
Okay. So somebody, you've got a total of 135 and you've got somebody sitting around who has successfully lost 150. Mm-hmm. You can see why your brain is now in like, it is just doing what it naturally does. It starts looking around and like doing all kinds of like weird shit. So let's just pretend that you weren't insecure about your weight loss. Let's just pretend you're like, it may take me a little bit longer than her, but I'm getting there. All right. Do you want to get there eating bars?
No.
Do you want to go on vacation and have to sit there and just watch everybody eat and eat a bar?
I've done the bars. I've done all that in my life. So I know that doesn't work for me.
That's what you have to keep telling yourself. You just have to keep telling yourself. It is so easy to see someone have success and feel insecure. Like I would just tell myself, sometimes that happens. Mm-hmm. Because we're human. We're going to look around and we're going to see better looking people than us sometimes. And we're going to see people that seem to have more money and have it easier and their kids are better. Like we always are as humans looking around and we size ourselves up. The reason I want all of you to hear this, because I think we all, like the other day I was talking to the group in Vegas and God love her. I can't remember her name. Sweet woman. But she's like, I just don't judge people. I'm like, that's bullshit. We all do. And she was like, no, I really don't. And I said, I guarantee you if I was to put a thought bubble above your head and sent you walking through the casino, you would find there would be someone drinking at 8 o'clock in the morning. And you'd be like, wow. I mean, like we just, our human brain is designed to make sure that we are sizing up everything around us. Mm-hmm. How do we fit in this community? How do we fit in this tribe? How do we fit in society? Is this dangerous for us? Are we bigger, better, and stronger? Are we the weaker one? Our brain is very primitive. Problem is we don't need to be looking around for people with a club or like, you know, a knife anymore. We're not killing each other for food. We're sizing people up like we're going on vacation and I think she's going to want to work out with my husband. Mm-hmm. That's like the old days of sizing up a better looking caveman who's much bigger, who can probably go get food faster than me.
Yeah.
It's the same.
The difference for me is I have hundreds of girlfriends. I have lots of girlfriends and this is the first time this has hit me like this.
Yeah.
It's
because it's so similar. It's just similar. That's it. Just allow your brain to be like, of course, sometimes my brain's going to run wild, but I'm going to remind myself, my husband's amazing. We have a great relationship. I can talk to him about anything, even when I'm insecure. If I need to tell him, I can tell him things and I don't have to wait until it's a problem and I don't have to sit around and think weird things and make up stories and create this elaborate tale. Because I mean, I just want you to put yourself in your husband's shoes for a minute. You go on vacation and he like legit just wants to work out with her because they know how to work out together.
And they're friends and
and you come at him like a crazy person one night after a drink or two and feeling insecure and you're like, are you fucking her? Because I mean, just tell me, that's kind of where this one would go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's like, he would be like, oh my God, I would much rather if you told me this at home in your calm state. So just, yeah. I want you to just have some compassion for yourself, but I do want you to run some models. I want you to put in different circumstances, yeah. But you have an accountability partner.
I do. I have several a group and I have a couple partners.
Okay. I want you to figure out what your actual circumstances are. Yeah. And I want you to run it by them first and tell them, make sure my circumstances are clean before I start running my thought downloads on them, yeah. Or running my thoughts on them. And then one thought per model. And some of these, like I'm going to tell you probably her weight and how she lost her weight probably has about 4 to 5 good models in it. One is, my husband's interested in her. Something along those lines. Another one will be like, it's easy for her. Mm-hmm. She lost it too fast. Like you'll have like all these little thoughts. It's like, how do you want to be thinking about it?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I know I've talked this over extensively with my husband already. And one of his things was, let's not go this year. Let's just stay home. If this is going to bother you, let's stay home. And I didn't want to do that. Because I think I can work through this. It's just...
I think you can too. I think what I would tell him is, I love that you would rather stay home with me and give up a vacation for my like mismanaged mind. That's even more reason to love you. So we are going on this trip and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in as my best self. Mm-hmm. I'm going to think about how much I love you. I'm going to think about how secure I am in this marriage. I'm going to think about what an amazing wife I am and an amazing husband you are and what a great time we can have. And I'm going to clean up my shit around her.
Mm-hmm.
And this yeah. is going to be great. And like, put your brain to
that's
work.
The other thing. I mean, I don't want to, I mean, that's the other thing he said, well, let's not be friends with them anymore. And I'm like, wow, you know that I would really miss them. They're really good friends and I love them. So I do, you know, both of those things don't seem, but that's his way. He's just like, well, then let's do this. He just wants it done. And he really wants to protect me from making a fool out of myself because he knows me and I'll let it fly.
I promise you this. You do all this work, you go and have an amazing vacation and stuff. It'll be the last damn time he'll ever say, like, you know, those bars in this P&P is taking too long. He's going to be like, I don't know what you do in that P&P, but I like it. It will be very different.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for
you're that. You're welcome. You have a good time no matter what you decide.
Okay.
All righty. Bye. Okay. All right. I think we had one more. We have Carmen, Debbie, and Raynette. Are y'all here? I don't see. Carlack, are you? Carmen, if you are, can you just type in the chat and let me know? And you need to do it to, you'll have to send it to all panelists and attendees. Because I can tell people are talking, or put it in the Q&A. Looks like not. Okay, I can't tell because if you put it in the Q&A, I'm going to answer the Q&A, and if that's not you, then we're done for the day. All right. Not sure if this is the right call for this, but I would love more explanation about using the hunger scale with 2 meals a day and -4 to +4. I get to a -4 at an 18-hour fast, so that's not an issue, but I feel overly full at what I think is +4, but trying to get to 5 or 6 hours later to a -4. It takes a long time to get hungry again. I think that's fine. You can eat, you don't have to eat to a +4 if you don't want to. You can still eat to a +2, and that will be fine. Takes a long time to get hungry. It will, like, the more, if you're going to be doing 18-hour fast, what's happening is your body's learning how to, like, just eat on your own, like, fat and calories and stuff, which, you know what? I don't even know how long 18 hours is. It's like I sleep for 10 and I get up at, like, let's say I get up at 7 if I went to bed. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I'm not really sure what that is. So anyway, but if you're doing that, that's fine. It's just probably that when you get to a -4, you don't have to go all the way to the +4 if you're going to want to eat that second meal for the day. But just have like 2 meals that you just eat and you just kind of like, this is when I eat them. And a lot of times when you're doing that kind of, like if you're fasting for 18 hours and you're only going to eat during a small window and you're only going to eat twice a day, your hunger scale, you're going to notice it, but it's like you're just going to eat your two meals and you're just not going to eat real big ones. You're just going to eat, like, these are just what I eat. It's really kind of taking the idea of, like, I don't want to think about food so much, so this is just how I do it, and I'm just moving on and doing other things with my life. What is your suspicions about an attraction? So here's what I do when I coach. I don't get suspicious. I don't try to think about what could be happening. That's what her brain's doing. Her brain is doing all the suspicious work for us. She doesn't need a coach to do that. Well, all I do is I just take facts. What are the facts of this? And if she is addressing, I hope you saw through the coaching, if she is addressing everything from the facts, and then she approaches her husband with the story my brain is telling me about this, right? Because there's a difference between going in and saying, you know, you guys are on this Apple Watch thing and it makes me feel terrible. It's like, why would that ever make anyone feel terrible unless you have suspicions, and suspicions never feel right? So it's like this idea of just being honest. And it's like going in and saying, the story I'm telling myself about this Apple Watch thing is that there's something going on between you two that I'm not a part of. And I make that mean something's wrong with me. Like, that's a very honest conversation. I think when it comes to, like, I'm not saying that there's never going to be, I've been cheated on 3 times and stuff like that. But the way that I notice in relationships, the best way to do things is just always to go by what is exactly presented in front of you. Do not get, like, don't try to be all creative and stuff, and just have open, honest communication. Like, if I'm feeling insecure with Chris, then what I do is I just talk to Chris about my insecurities, and I address them as, these are my things. Like, these are the things that I think, and these are the things I feel. It's not because of you. It is like, here is you, and then here's me doing all of this thinking. And then we just have a conversation. Okay. I don't think our other girls are here. Everybody's asking, what is this bar thing? She has a friend that she's going on vacation with who is not doing PNP, who ate bars around the clock and lost 150 pounds in 8 months. I'm sure she was on some kind of medical diet or something along the lines. If any of you want to be on a medical diet, I'm sure there are doctors out there who will give you something like that. I don't teach that because, for one, it means that you are going to have to just have surgery. Oh, she's saying they were called MetaFast bars, and she had surgery too. So she's had weight loss surgery. She's eating MetaFast bars. That's why she lost her weight so fast. And I don't have judgment even over that, guys. Like, it does not matter to me if people do that kind of stuff. My thing is that whenever we're losing weight, whether you're going to do it through surgery and MetaFast bars and the hunger scale with me, or you're going to do, the 40,000 other things that are in between those, is that you're doing it for the right reasons, and you're learning how to do your thought work, and you're managing your mind, and you're establishing a healthy relationship with food. Like, however you get there is how you get there. Like, I'm so uninterested in the vehicle that gets you there. What I'm always more interested in, it's just like, even within the tribe, we have people that do my program 1,000 different ways. All of your twos are different. Some people are fasting. Some people are not. Some people do no sugar, no flour. A lot of us don't. It's just like, there's a lot of ways to get it done when you are really trying to construct a life you love. And that's what I think my bottom line with all of you is that I want to teach you how to create this life you love that's healthy. It's going to keep you around a long time. That allows you to, like our first caller, allows you to chase your dreams, to think about, what's next for me. Because here's the thing. When your weight loss goal is done, I want to teach you how to dream, how to believe in yourself, how to commit, how to go all in, how to research the toot out of it, how to do it when it doesn't feel good, how to love the process and stuff, so that when that weight loss goal is done, I want you guys to think about this for all my maintenance girls. That goal, when it's done, there's going to be a void. If you didn't really learn all of those skills and stuff, you're going to be afraid to set the next goal because you'll be afraid to take your eye off the prize of maintaining. Like, we want to create it in such a way that you just feel like, if I can achieve this, now what? Versus, it took everything in me just to get this done, and I'm terrified to let it go. Because I don't believe in myself for anything else. I never really taught myself any of that stuff. I did it all scared out of my pants and all this other stuff. So it's like, once you guys think about the way I teach you, set you up for like, what's next? Like, let's conquer weight loss and get this done for the rest of our life so we can start creating more in our life. All right. That's all I got for today. I don't think you guys were signed up, so I'm not going to call on you, and I never saw a comment about it. So y'all have a good one, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.